Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Thank you for having a wonderful Friday morning, July 19th, and we'll have a lot of news for you this morning, especially about the weather, because it is going to be extremely hot and dangerously. So if you have elderly parents or if you have pets and children, make sure that everyone is taken care of because it can be a real rough time. As a matter of fact, as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to be calling Rosie Posey to make sure she has her air conditioning on and her fan in her apartment and just keeping an eye on things like that because it can get away from you. You can forget about it. And especially if you're elderly and you can't move around, you could fall asleep and God forbid something could happen. So I know I sound like an Italian mom. I can't help it. Or an Italian auntie more specifically. But just keep that in mind. We love you and we care about you and we give you all the things you need to know. So we do have a lot of news coming up on the weather and some other major stories. And also all the great things that are happening right here on this very network, that being EWTN. The one, the only Doug Keck joining me as he always does on Friday mornings at 15 minutes past hour with the Inside Word. And then I know you're going to just enjoy chatting with someone who just needs a little bit more excitement about the faith, a little bit more energy. I'm kidding. Steve Ray is going to be joining me about St. Elijah, the prophet. He did a fabulous video on this, the story, and he's going actually through history of the Catholic Church, Footprints of God, the story of salvation from Abraham to Augustine, as I believe the subtitle. And speaking of all things EWTN, what was really cool is that the network worked with Ignatius Press to, you know, give smaller versions of those stories to the network so they could run them on the airwaves. And so many people have enjoyed them, and they're very, very well done. And Steve's going to share some of that with us this morning. And it's just a little walk through the history of the church. Whenever you get frustrated or maybe get disillusioned or just feel overwhelmed, as we all do at times, we need to just step back and look at the big picture of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church and all the saints that have gone before us. This is not to minimize or dismiss or diminish any of the issues we're having. We report on them regularly and we keep you up to date on that as well. And we respectfully and lovingly hold our shepherd's feet to the fire to make sure they're addressing these issues. But at the same time, again, as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun, and this is not our first rodeo in dealing with issues and problems and scandals. And so many saints give us great examples about addressing those issues and problems and scandals in the church and the difference that one person can make. And so Steve Ray is great at that and has also helped a lot of folks with discouragement right now as he continues to be a great witness and pilgrimage leader. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to give a little bit more time to Steve because he always gets a ton of questions. And I just love interviewing him. It's always interesting, informative, uplifting, and even entertaining because he's a lot of fun to have on the show. So that's our program for this morning. I do hope, as I said, you can stay tuned for the entire show. And don't forget, we archive everything, and you can go to AveMariaRadio.net. So by midday, the wonderful folks behind the scenes at Ave will have that posted for you. And Eric is filling in this morning for Andrew, who has the morning off. So thanks to Eric for holding down the fort. Right now, about 3 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning, and it's EWTN. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on a Friday. Well, Vice President Mike Pence criticizing ally Saudi Arabia for suppression of religious liberties, also calling on the Saudis to release a blogger in prison for reportedly insulting Islam. Mike Pence speaking to the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom Conference at the State Department this week, where he noted the detention of religious dissidents in several countries, including Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Burma.
While that conflict has fallen along ethnic lines, we cannot ignore the rise of militant Buddhism against Muslim and Christian minorities that's taken place. A brutal campaign of ethnic cleansing against the Rohingya has forced more than 700,000 to flee across the border to Bangladesh. And though the United States has repeatedly urged the Burmese government to hold accountable all those responsible, the government has continued to imprison and harass innocent men and women.
Next week, the case of a Pakistani lecturer held for alleged blasphemy is expected to be the topic of a discussion. when the prime minister has his first ever meeting with President Donald Trump. In the wake of reports of financial and sexual misconduct on the part of former Bishop Michael Bransfield, the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston in West Virginia announcing several new financial policies and procedures for increased transparency. Those new policies include the use of a new third-party auditing firm, the expansion and strengthening of the Diocesan Financial Council, and the doing away with of the Discretionary Bishop's Fund, among some other changes. As a new regulation takes effect barring Title X recipients from making abortion referrals, Planned Parenthood reportedly deciding to forego the federal funds in order to continue directing women straight to abortion. Pro-life advocates have praised the regulations as a common-sense way to ensure enforcement of already existing rules against taxpayer money being used for abortions. President Trump, meanwhile, as Mark Mayfield says, he is explaining that U.S. forces did shoot down an Iranian drone that was flying much too closely to a U.S. vessel in the Strait of Hormuz.
Ignoring multiple calls to stand down and was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew, the drone was immediately destroyed.
At the White House yesterday, Trump said the drone came within 1,000 yards of the Navy warship. He also warned Iran to stop provocative acts in the region.
The U.S. House of Representatives approving a bill that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025. Heidi Shierholz of the Economic Policy Institute is for the increase, calling it a step in supporting American workers.
It will get $22 billion to low-income families. It will reduce inequality. It will reduce poverty.
The Raise the Wage Act now heading to the Republican-controlled Senate. Bernie Sanders is telling American workers, meanwhile, that he would institute that $15 per hour minimum wage if he wins the White House next year. But now unionized workers on his own campaign claim they wish he would start in the present by paying a higher wage to them. According to a report, members of Sanders' staff have been using the senator's own campaign rhetoric against him as they try to get more pay from the self-described Democratic Socialist. The Washington Post reports that in a letter to Sanders' campaign manager, the staffers claim they can't be expected to build the, quote, largest grassroots organizing program in American history while making poverty wages. President Trump, as Brian Shook reports, nominating the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia to be the next labor secretary.
The president made the announcement on Twitter saying Eugene Scalia led a life of great success. He added that Scalia is respected as a lawyer with a lot of experience with labor issues. Scalia previously served as solicitor of the Labor Department during President George W. Bush's administration. If he's confirmed, he'll replace Alex Acosta, who resigned last week after a controversy over a sweetheart plea deal convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein received about a decade ago.
And speaking of Epstein, he's staying behind bars for now after he was denied bail. He's awaiting a trial on new charges in New York that he had sex with underage women. Prosecutors had argued his wealth, access to a private jet, and motive to flee are reasons he should be remaining behind bars. His attorneys are pushing to have him out on bail, living in his Manhattan mansion under heavy supervision. Epstein, an allegedly registered sex offender, is accused of sex trafficking dozens of girls between the years of 2002 to 2005. And Mark Mayfield tells us more about a heat wave that will have many people across the country looking for ways to cool off.
Forecasters are predicting a dangerous heat wave over two-thirds of the U.S. this weekend. Millions of Americans are going to be sweltering as temperatures top 100 degrees across the Midwest and the East Coast. The National Weather Service says a large dome of high pressure will allow temperatures to surge into the 90s and 100s in many locations, with no relief at night, as low temperatures will remain in the upper 70s and 80s. Record highs are possible from the Western Plains to the East Coast.
And by the way, meteorologist John Weatherby says, despite the heat, there are ways to survive it.
Get your outside jobs done early. Many locations will be above 90 degrees by 10 a.m.
Wow. Weatherby says many communities are opening comfort shelters for folks who do not have air conditioning. He adds that people should wear loose-fitting clothing. Check on seniors and young children and make sure you know the signs of heat stroke. Again, millions of Americans, as we just heard from Mark Mayfield, will be sweltering as temps top 100 degrees. From across the Midwest all the way over to the East Coast, forecasters say record highs are possible from the Western Plains to the New York and New England area. A man is recovering from injuries after being thrown from his seat during a test run of a self-driving shuttle in Salt Lake City. John Gleason is with the Utah Department of Transportation and says a shuttle detected something in the road at the 1950 West Business Park Tuesday, causing it to come to an abrupt stop.
This sent a gentleman on the shuttle off his seat and into the door and the stop bar right there, causing some injuries to his face.
Yikes. The shuttle will continue operation, though Gleason says its top speed has now been lowered to 9 miles an hour. And this week's 50th anniversary of the historic Apollo 11 moon landing mission, holding special significance for a former Northern California Navy officer. Rolf Sabe was among those aboard the ship sent to recover the astronauts after splashdown.
We were so intense and we were so well trained and so focused on the job we had to do that took precedence. But at the same time, we realized how exciting this was to see them come down, to see them get picked up by the helicopter and brought onto the ship.
As a second-class petty officer on the USS Hornet, Sabe then helped recover the space capsule that took Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins to the moon and back. And the man who heads NASA says harvesting rare earth metals from the surface of the moon will be possible in this century. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine said yesterday the moon's surface could contain tons of platinum group metals, known as rare earth metals, which are tremendously valuable here on Earth. They're used in cell phones, military equipment, fluorescent lights, batteries for electric cars, and more. Bridenstine said getting those metals from the moon in the coming decades is becoming much more realistic because of major investments by private space companies. Very cool. I don't know, sounded more and more like the Jetsons. Just saying. 877-573-7825. It's a Friday. You're listening to EWTN, Global Catholic Radio. Don't forget, resources. We're all about the resources. This is exactly why we have Doug Heck on Fridays, because he tells us about all the great resources on air. Don't forget to check our websites, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And as I mentioned earlier, we archive the interviews from Catholic Connection. And if you just go to AveMariaRadio.net, you can just go to the archive section. And by midday, usually, the segments are there. So even if you don't have time to listen to the entire program again, or you want to send a link to someone, something you heard, you can go and see the rundown there and click on the segment you choose. So Doug Keck is up next, and then the one, the only Steve Ray, the Feast of St. Elijah the Prophet, talking about that and much more with Steve Ray from Footprints of God and CatholicConvert.com. We'll be right back. It's a Friday. Happy almost weekend. Stay tuned. Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia, where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
into EWTN. I always enjoy my chats with Doug Keck every week. He is the Chief Operating Officer and President of the EWTN Network. How goes the battle, my friend? What you doing this morning?
Oh, well, we keep going, you know. I mean,
yep.
That's always been Mother's mission, you know. Nobody said for any of us it's going to be easy, and you're going to take fire from all sides at all different times, you know, sometimes justified, many times maybe not so justified, but, you know, all of us have different missions. I think that was one of the great insights I got from Mother Angelica, which was the idea that that she had her mission, somebody else might have another mission, and she would pray and wish them well, but she would never criticize their mission if it was different than hers. And that's, I think, one of the things we've always tried to do, which is to say, you know, we're sorry you're not always happy with how we do what we do, but that's what we feel we're supposed to be doing, and we'll pray for you and for your mission, and we don't go out of our way at all, I think it's fair to say, and have never done in the following up of Mother's intentions of really criticizing anybody who might have a different approach.
Well, I think what's interesting about that, what you just said, is that people don't criticize you or try to shine some sort of a negative spotlight on you if you're not having an impact, because they would just leave you alone. They wouldn't care if you weren't doing anything or influencing anybody.
Oh, absolutely. We all know that, you know, because of the fact that if you're going to get attention, it's because you must be doing something right or, in their mind, something wrong. And again, that's a matter of one's perspective. You know, we try and keep focused on our mission, and that's what we do. And that will make many, many people, as we know, over the years, very happy and satisfied and feeling good about their faith and coming back to their faith. And sometimes other people be upset, and even all of us, you know, even in the best relationships and friendships we have with people, there are times that people say and do things that we don't always agree 100% with, and we might have a question about. And, you know, for us, that's why we have a viewer services department to try to respond to those questions and comments when they come up as best we can, you know. And so that's what we try to do, but we try to keep it focused on our mission and moving forward and not being distracted, because sometimes, as you said, people, you know, who bring these things up, their goal is to distract you
right
from what your goal is to achieve. And that's what our focus is to keep moving forward, presenting the truth of the faith and trying to be fair with the church, meaning
right
at times defending initially situations maybe that other people think should be harder hit, because we're trying to be fair to the people in the church and charitable, and at the same time releasing stories and focusing on things that sometimes aren't the most positive for the church and upset people of those things, because it happens to be something that we believe is true and needs to have a light shine on it. And so when you know that, and you work in news and you have your whole life and those
right
kinds of things, you know, you're usually, somebody's usually unhappy with what you're doing. So,
right,
I mean, that's one of the things that happens when you do it. And you have to be reflective. You have to be prayerful. You have to be careful, which is why sometimes, you know, our mantra has always been at EWTN, especially on the news side, is not first, but right. So we don't get upset if somebody else says some stories before we do. We want to make sure that when we actually put it out there, we're 150% sure that this is a fair, honest presentation of the facts.
I think, too, it's really important, and the church is always about this, balance and moderation in terms of our teachings and the way we approach. And Al always says we have to look at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the church. And we're talking about balance. And so you have to provide balance. And I said at the top of the hour, you know, the fact that there are some really bad times that we're going through right now. But we have to pull back and look at the big picture. This doesn't mean that we diminish or put aside the issues that we're facing. But we also have to be in I don't want to say business as in a money making, but you know, we are, our goal is evangelization, and we have to make sure people are focused on Christ. Otherwise, they can get very overwhelmed and discouraged. And Father John Ricardo always says that discouragement is the devil's greatest tool.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. And that's where you run the risk. If you try to point out at certain times that, well, you know, look what's going on in secular society, or look historically in the years of the church, I did an interview that just ran recently with Rod Bennett on called Bad Shepherds, which focuses on problems with popes and, mm-hmm. and bishops over the years. So the idea is, folks, this, you know, the fact that this is not new does not mean it's not terrible. But it tries to give you the idea that this, the idea that in some time in the past, you know, whether it was the very early church or it was the church in the 1950s, nothing was ever perfect.
Right.
It's because it's populated with people who mm-hmm. have original sin and do these kinds of things because they're concupiscence. And we believe in that aspect of life. Many people who are in the secular world and worship at secularism believe that people are born perfectly good, you know, and then are corrupted by society. So if you can create a perfect society, then people will act perfectly well. And everybody knows that those societies have always ended up killing more people than anybody else. So.
Yeah, actually, Archbishop Chaput just said that in his talk that he gave on July 9th, talking to the Alliance Defending Freedom, which I think was one of the most brilliant, well, of course, he's brilliant, period, but in terms of the addresses of the real situation with religious freedom in our country or lack thereof.
Right, and the fact that for all of us, we need to be vigilant because a lot of us, because of the lack of historical perspective, from the lack of teaching history these days, and having this progressive idea that whatever's happening today is much better than from the past, so we can't be informed by the past, is to think that the way things are today are the way they've always been, which is not the case, whether it's a negative or a positive. And so the some of the rights and things that people enjoy and take for granted as if they're innate without realizing that they were fought for and won, and this is a unique experiment we have here, and we need to be careful with it. And also the idea, if you take God away from inalienable rights, well, then where are these inalienable rights coming from? The trees? You know,
right.
And if they come from the government, well, then you're in a lot of trouble, because then you're talking about Soviet Russia and Hitler's Germany and other places where the rights are dependent upon who's the majority, who's running the show, who has the weapons. That's who determines who has rights and who doesn't have rights, instead of the fact that the great insight that our founders had was there are certain rights that the Creator, however they defined him, has instituted into you that cannot be taken away by the government. Government's job is to safeguard the rights you already have, not to create rights for you or decide which rights you can use and you can't use.
So in terms of all of this, which we help people understand more clearly, what's coming up in the next week or so, Doug, on EWTN?
Sure. Well, obviously, when it gets to the spirituality aspect thing, which EWTN's major focus is, we've got a documentary on St. Benedict of Nursia that's going to be on today. Today at 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got a new documentary on St. Charbel, obviously the Lebanese mystic, and we had some meetings recently with Nursat, which is the channel there, and we're going to be doing some programming exchanges with them. People can look forward to that. They're wonderful people who are on the front lines of the faith in the Middle East.
Mm.
You want to talk about, you know, real red martyrdom versus white martyrdom? Those people are in the world of red martyrdom. Our EWTN Theology Roundtable, Colin Donovan and his team will be dealing with that document on gender theory that recently came out on the roundtable on Sunday. Next week, we're going to air the mini-series that we did on the Crusades, and we also have a docudrama on the Cathedral of Santo Domingo Compostela, Santiago de Compostela in Spain, of course, and that's obviously St. James, and that's a powerful, you know, pilgrimage site for many people. So that's just some of the things we have going on. And then check EWTN.com for all the other events and programs we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks.
And everything went well with the production and the live events in California this past week?
Right. Yes, actually, the team did great. And, you know, we got that launched and moving forward. And, you know, we've got some other things. We taped some of the talks at the Napa conference. I'm actually going to be out there for the first time because I'm going to be doing a show with Father Spitzer, we're going to tape a Father Spitzer's Universe episode which will air later in August, and also probably pick up a couple of book interviews while I'm there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week, we'll be doing some remote book interviews out of the Catholic Marketing Network, which is happening in Lancaster the following week. So there's a lot going on. Then you've got the Knights of Columbus event happening, I think, from Minneapolis. So people Brian Patrick will be for anchoring that. And so those are some of the things. We've got our family celebration coming up in Denver in September. People should make plans to get there. We've got a great lineup. You know, it's a very highly focused radio conference. You've got Jeanette. You've got Dr. David Anders is going to be there. Father Mitch is going to be there. And we've got a complete Spanish lineup of speakers.
Awesome.
So some of the top Spanish speakers that people would know from EWTN are going to be there. Pepe Alonso. And, you know, in a whole list and check out.
Yeah, even though it's summertime, it's still busy, isn't it? Never slows down. So much work to do
Absolutely.
In the church. And we're so grateful for your work, Doug, at EWTN. Have a great weekend. Look forward to connecting again next week. Doug Keck is the Chief Operating Officer and the President of EWTN and giving us the inside word every week, a little scoop for you so you can, you know, think about it and pray what you want to watch and hit that, DVR or whatever it's called if you can't tune in live. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently prevailed in a lawsuit filed in an Oklahoma federal court by Raja E. Fatia, a Muslim and a board member of CARE Oklahoma, against Chad and Nicole Neal, the owners of an Oklahoma gun range. Fatia was represented by lawyers from CARE, the ACLU, and a large New York law firm, the usual suspects. The American Freedom Law Center represented the Neals. The controversy arose when in 2015, Fatia entered the Neal's gun range armed with a loaded military-issue handgun strapped to his side, a military-style rifle slung over his shoulder, magazines loaded with approximately 140 rounds of 9mm ammunition, a concealed recording device in his pocket, and a dangerous agenda. To create a controversy with armed individuals at the gun range, hoping that he would not be allowed to fire his weapons so he could file this meritless lawsuit and run to the media with his prearranged Islamophobia narrative, knowing that the liberal media would willingly serve as an echo chamber for his spurious claim of discrimination. CARE's lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice. CARE's extremely reckless and dangerous attempt to set up a lawsuit to make a political point has failed. Apparently, CARE and the ACLU didn't want to put CARE's nefarious ties to terrorism on trial, so they caved in. And in the end, the good guys won yet again. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
You can find Steve at a number of places online, CatholicConvert.com and also FootprintsOfGod.com. Steve Ray is a convert to Catholicism, author, speaker, dynamic pilgrimage leader, and I know this because I've traveled with him many, many times. We'll be traveling again next year for the Passion Play in Oberammergau, which happens every 10 years. And then after Germany, we're going down to Italy, and then they're finishing up with an extension in Rome. But Steve, that trip with us is sold out with you and I, with you and me, and then you have another one, though, right after that, though, right?
Yeah, the one in June with you is already sold out, and it's kind of cool because we're taking a train from Milan. After we go through Germany and Switzerland and northern Italy, we're going to take a train to Montepello, see the face cloth of Christ
beautiful.
And all that, and then get to Rome. But we do have seats still open for the August trip with Bishop Conley from Lincoln, Nebraska. And so if you want to go to Oberammergau, see southern Germany, we're going to go to Dachau, too. That's kind of very an impressive sight to see. And Switzerland and the Alps and northern Italy. We're going to Oberammergau in August. That one still has seats open.
All right. Well, so they can go to footprintsofgod.com or even catholicconvert.com and hit your pilgrimage page.
Yep.
Okay, so you and I love talking about the wonderful saints that have gone before us, and you've done so much work on this in helping cradle Catholics and converts understand. So today we're talking about Elijah, correct?
Yes. Elijah, the father of the prophets. People don't realize that the Old Testament figures like Elijah, Elisha, Moses, Noah, and even Adam and Eve are saints, and they have feast days in the Catholic Church. We don't emphasize them. we emphasize others, but you know, New Testament and the saints, like you said, Teresa of Lisieux and these. But the Old Testament heroes are also called saints, and in the Catechism it says this in paragraph 61. If you don't believe me, you can read it for yourself. The patriarchs, prophets, and certain other Old Testament figures have been and always will be honored as saints in all the church's liturgical traditions. People don't realize that not only is Saturday, tomorrow, the feast day of Elijah, but we have feast days for Adam and Eve. That's December 24th. Christmas Eve, the birthday of our Lord, is also the feast day of the birth of the very first human beings, Adam and Eve. So it's really quite an interesting study to go back and find these saints and what their feast days are.
I know we're going to be talking about the movie you made, and we're going to talk about that a little bit and explain it, but what was so intriguing about Elijah to you in terms of when you came into the Catholic Church? Because obviously you knew the Bible and you know the Bible, so, and that was one of the reasons why you bypassed a lot of the normal procedures. You knew so much about the faith, more than most cradle Catholics. But looking at this now with Catholic lenses, what do you see maybe differently than you did before regarding Elijah in particular?
Well, we would have never considered him a saint in the way the Catholic Church does. We would have known that he was in heaven, and that he was there in the presence of God in heaven. But there's a whole new depth to it when you become a Catholic. You know, I say that I loved the Bible when I was young. Even at 17 years old, I fell in love with the Bible when I gave my life to Jesus as an evangelical. And I remember going to high school, Plymouth High School. Under my arm, I had Bibles. I didn't have books on algebra, geometry, or history. I had books on the Bible and Bible dictionaries, and that's all I cared about through my years from 17 years on, and I still have that same. But when I became Catholic, Teresa, my love for Scripture 100% more, because I realized it was much deeper and richer and holistic than I ever understood as an evangelical. And the tie-ins between the Old and the New Testament. For example, Elijah wore a hairy robe, made of camel's hair probably, and he's a hairy man covered with a hairy robe, and he wore a leather belt.
That sounds
Who
familiar.
Who else is ever mentioned wearing the same thing?
Oh, can I answer? May I answer? My hand's up.
Teresa, I'll call on you. Teresa, who is it?
John the Baptist.
Absolutely. See, and this is the beauty of how our Catholic faith, because we see John the Baptist as a fulfillment of Elijah the prophet. They're parallels. And Elisha the prophet is a parallel with Jesus. So you have Elijah in the Old Testament, but John the Baptist is the fulfillment of his ministry. Book of Malachi, last book of the prophets, the last of the prophets, 400 years before Jesus comes, says, before the great and awesome day of the Lord, Elijah will appear. What does that mean? Elijah, is he going to come back, reincarnation? Is he going to come back down from heaven? What's going to happen? Well, John the Baptist appears on the scene. He's covered with a hairy robe and a leather belt, eating grasshoppers, and he is on the other side of the Jordan River, right at the place where Elijah had gone up into heaven, at that place called Bethany beyond the Jordan, where Jesus was baptized. There's a hill.
And we were there. We were just there. We were just there.
You were just there. I know. Yeah. You saw all this stuff. By the way, if anybody wants to go, February we're going again. Holy Land Part 2 and Jordan. We'll see all of these places related to John the Baptist and Elijah. But anyway, when the Jews came down to the baptismal site and they see John the Baptist, he looks just like Elijah. He's preaching just like Elijah. And Malachi said that Elijah's going to come back before the day of the Lord. And they said, wait a minute, Elijah went up to heaven right from here. Did you just come back down? Are you him? That's why it says that they were saying to him, are you Elijah? So you see that parallels between the Old and the New Testaments there, and it really makes it quite fascinating.
And you did an entire film on Elijah, and you filmed it in 2017, right?
Yeah, and last year we filmed it in 2017, and it was released last year. It's called Elijah and Elisha, the Conscience of the Kingdom, and it covers 1,000 years of relative silence from the kings, David and Solomon. We did their movie, but from them until the coming of Christ is 1,000 years. And for most Catholics, it's a black hole of history. Sit down and ask a Catholic, what do you know about that 1,000 years? Well, there's not a lot of knowledge about that. So what I wanted to do is bring to light that 1,000 years of the prophets who were prophesying about the future, yes, but they were also calling Israel to repentance. They were telling them about the sins and idolatry and all the things that they were doing contrary to the will and law of God. And so they were the conscience of the kingdom, and most of them were killed for it. They were martyrs. And so our movie tries to bring to light those 1,000 years and bring the prophets to our awareness. And it was really quite fun to do. We had to film it in Jordan because a lot of Elijah and Elisha right. took place in Jordan. Then we were all through Israel and the Palestinian areas, and Janet and I actually had to go with our crew twice to Egypt to film the parts of it as well. So it covered 4 basic areas. And it really was quite an exciting adventure. I did a lot of it on a Segway. You know those two-wheel things you ride?
Mm-hmm.
So, and so that made a kind of a fun little segue in the movies. No pun intended.
All right, let's go out the phone number. We're about 35 minutes past the hour. Steve Ray is our guest, and he is author, speaker, pilgrimage leader, and talking about Elijah. Feast day tomorrow, July 20th. Elisha was on July 14th, 877-573-7825. Steve is a convert to Catholicism, and he does pilgrimages and speaks all over the world. And he's just a great teacher of the faith. 877-573-7825. Also has a number of awesome pilgrimages going on. The one that we're doing together next year to Oberammergau and Italia. That's sold out, but there's another similar itinerary shortly after that with Bishop Conley that's open. So check out all of Steve's great pilgrimages at CatholicConvertDom.com, the pilgrimage page. More with Steve Ray on Elijah. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. It's a Friday, and you're listening to EWTN. We'll be right back.
What are the 3 major sins against the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism lists them as tempting God, sacrilege, and simony. How can we tempt God? By putting his goodness and almighty power to the test, by word or deed, as Satan dared to do when he commanded Jesus throw himself down from the temple. He was trying to force God to act. Jesus rebuked the devil with God's word, "You shall not put the Lord thy God to the test." The sin of sacrilege profanes sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God. It is particularly grave when committed against the Eucharistic Jesus. Simony is the sin of buying and selling of spiritual things. It's named after Simon the magician, who attempted to purchase spiritual power from St. Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Standing with Steve Ray, our fearless pilgrimage leader, author, speaker, convert to the faith, CatholicConvert.com. If you have a question about St. Elijah or something about Scripture, Steve would be happy to answer your questions. 877-573-7825. Elijah's feast day is tomorrow on the 20th of July. So let's talk about the importance of Elijah in Scripture, Steve.
Yes, he plays a very important role. That's why he's called the father of the prophets. He kind of establishes the whole role of the prophet. He is at Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. That's a very significant thing. Only 2 characters from the whole Old Testament show up with Jesus. up on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. You want to know how important Elijah is? Just look at that event alone. Why is he there? Because we call the Old Testament the Old Testament. That's what we refer to it as. But Jesus didn't do that. When he referred to it, he referred to the Law and the Prophets. He would say, it is written in the Law and the Prophets. Well, that covers the whole span of the Old Testament. Moses represents the Law. Well, who do you think represents the Prophets? Elijah. He is the father of the Prophets. So Moses represents the full first half of the Old Testament, and Elijah the second half, being the father of the Prophets. If that doesn't show his significance there, nothing will, because that just it describes very well how important he is in the whole plan of salvation and in the covenants of God. Also, the fact that he is a type or a prefiguration of John the Baptist is also shows how important he was, that he is the figure that's going to come back at the end of time, not him as a person, but John the Baptist, who is his follow-up. Now, it says the word Elijah, the name Elijah, is used 8 times in the Catechism. I always love to see how many times someone like Augustine or Irenaeus is quoted, because it gives a sense of their significance and importance in theology. He is mentioned 8 times in the Catechism, which is really quite a good number of a lot of Old Testament saints aren't even mentioned in the Catechism. And he's mentioned 106 times in the Bible. I love facts and figures like that. It just makes it so interesting. 106 times Elijah's mentioned in the Bible. 29 times in the New Testament alone. Mentioned 29 times in the New Testament, and that's really quite significant.
Let's go to the phone. Speaking of the connections between Old and New Testament and John the Baptist, let's see what Peggy has to say. She has some good questions. Hey, Peggy, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. Well, just a moment. I had you on speaker. Now all of a sudden you're not. Just a second here.
Good morning, Peggy.
Oh, yes, good
there
morning.
There you go. Good morning.
Good morning. Steve, Ray, and Teresa, I love both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, Elijah, is that the same as Elias?
Yes. Elias, okay. If you're in Israel, among the Arabs,
Elias.
It's called Elias.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
The same name.
In our family, we come from Tirza, Lebanon, up in Mount Lebanon, okay?
Oh, beautiful.
And our family names are Peter, Paul, Elias. We also have Corey and a few others. Okay.
Yep.
So what I would like, so I just wanted to know that. Is it possible? We had a relative that came down and from Lebanon in 1976. I drove my grandmother over to Windsor where they were living, and she visited with her sister-in-law, and one of the 8 children that she grandchildren that she brought over is baking the bread right now for Tirza Bakery in Roseville, Michigan.
Oh, that's okay, right by me. Roseville, Michigan, yeah.
Right mm-hmm. by you. And yep, it's mm-hmm. also Paramount. He has Paramount and the other one. So he's, anyhow, we had a meeting with him. He's my third cousin and a third cousin, one of the Eliases, living in Michigan. And I was told that our family were some of the original Jews who accepted Christ, and during all the persecutions, ended up in Tirza, Lebanon. Unbelievable that
wow.
could be happening to our family.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, Peggy, I know you had a question, and unfortunately,
I
wanted to give you the opportunity to ask that of Steve. So go ahead, hon.
Yes, Steve. Where is John the Baptist buried? Because I know they took his body and buried. And where is John the Apostle buried?
Let's do John the Apostle first. He's buried in Ephesus in a place called Selchuk. And that is, there's a church there called the Church of St. John. He became the bishop of Ephesus, and
mm-hmm.
he was buried there. And there is, in the old church there in Ephesus, it's in ruins now, but there's that where the altar stood, and there's
yep.
a sign, Tomb of Jean, J-A-N.
We were there. You took us there, Steve.
French
yeah.
pronunciation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I finished my book on the Gospel of John, I took it and laid it there on his tomb, and I wept.
Aww.
That was really something. But anyway, back to the tomb of Elijah is nowhere because he went up into heaven, but the tomb of Elisha and John the Baptist are together. They're buried together. It was first in Sebastia in Samaria, Israel, and it was there in a tomb up until the 300s, and there was going to be destroyed, so a bunch of some witty monks, some very clever monks, stole the bones of Elisha and John the Baptist out of Samaria, and they whisked them away to St. Macarius Monastery in Egypt. And if you watch my movie on Elijah and Elisha, I go there, we go to the monastery, we go inside the church, and after we celebrated the Mass with the Coptic Christians there and the bishop, we went down to the area where the tomb is, and there's the sign that says the remains of John the Baptist and Elisha the prophet. So they're in the deserts of Egypt out at St. Macarius Monastery.
So wow. Peggy, let me ask you, have you ever been over to the Middle East, over to Israel or Jordan or any of that area?
No. No. Years ago in the 50s, somebody died, and they wanted my dad, who was he was going to be assuming the house of the Rohibs.
Mm-hmm.
And Rohib, my grandmother, in whatever year my grandfather came from Lebanon, my grandmother was from the same family. They were cousins, if you can imagine. Well, anyhow.
I mean, and your history is so fascinating, and there's so much connection there. If you can do it, I would really recommend going on a trip with Steve, because you will learn so much. And to have that connection with your family, which is, my gosh, you could write a book. So I don't know, pray about it, because I can't say enough about going with Steve and learning about that part of the world. But thank you for calling in and for your great question and your support and your interest in Catholic radio. I love hearing stories like that, Steve.
One more thing about you, Steve. I taught RCIA. It's St. Mary's here in Iowa, and absolutely loved that movie. It was Keeper of the Keys with St.
Yes.
Peter. Oh,
yes.
I borrowed it from the church at least three times. I've watched it over and over again. You are so excited. You are really top of the line for me.
I really think he needs more enthusiasm, though. I'm sorry. He's just not enthusiastic enough about the faith. That's
right.
What I said about
me, too. I'm very excited when I see him. And your movies, I do have somewhere on in my...
Okay,
stuff.
Peggy, sweetie, I got to go. We've been on with you for about 10 minutes, so I appreciate all your great comments. But love you, too. Thanks for calling. We have to take a break. Steve, big fan. Thanks to Peggy and all her great support. Let's take a break. And wrapping up with Steve Ray, gosh, we have so much more to cover. We're talking about Elijah, feast day tomorrow, and you can learn more from his great film. So where do we find the film on Elijah?
A website at CatholicConvert.com.
Okay.
It has
stay tuned.
Study guide, too, a complete study
guide. Of course
guide
it does.
It.
Do you ever do anything without a study guide? You're so awesome.
No,
we'll be right back.
No.
Steve Ray joining us. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria Radio is having a Christmas in July sale going on right now at AveMariaRadio.net. Deck your halls with great books, talks, and other products for friends, family, and even for yourself. Products featuring Father John Ricardo are on sale, including a 20% discount on all single show copies of Christ is the Answer. Just apply the promo code CIAJULY19 at checkout. Don't miss out on Ave Maria Radio's Christmas in July sale going on right now at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Time flies when you have great guests and calls. 877-573-7825. Steve Ray on with me this morning. The feast day of Elijah the prophet tomorrow in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. Boy, there's so much we didn't get to. I think we're just going to have you on for a follow-up. But we wanted to talk about the sacrifices because you've outlined that. You're working on that in the film, but you've also written extensively about that. So explain, please.
Well, there's a great episode in the life of Elijah, maybe the pinnacle event where he's in the northern Israel part, and Ahab, the king of Israel, marries this really nasty queen named Jezebel from Phoenicia, which is Lebanon of today. And she worships Baal, which is a fertility god, very wicked pagan god. She convinces Ahab. Ahab starts killing all of the Jewish, the Israelite prophets of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And so they have a duel. I love it. Elijah says, why do you go limping between two opinions? Either worship Yahweh, the God of Israel, or worship Baal. Make up your mind. And he challenged, he went right up to Ahab's face. It's one of those things where he goes right up to his face and puts his finger under his nose, and Ahab says he's going to kill him. So they have a duel, and I call it the dueling deities. They say, let's go up to Mount Moriah. It's in the Carmel mountain range just beyond Haifa. And they go up and build two altars, and they kill two bulls and put a bull on each altar. And I can just imagine this. You know, if we had Twitter back then, Twitter would have been a fire because people were just... All of Israel went up to that mountain to see this duel, to see which God was the real one. And all the people went up the mountain, and the king came up. Can you imagine him coming up with his retinue of people with their horses and everything? And there starts the battle. They kill the bulls, put them on the altars, and Elijah says, you go first. And 450 prophets of Baal are dancing around their altar, calling on Baal to bring down fire on the sacrifice. Nothing happens all day long. Elijah mocks them. He says, maybe your God's on a vacation or gone. Call louder. Scream louder. Maybe he's on the toilet. He says that. Maybe your God's on the toilet, so call him louder. Nothing happens. So at the end of the day, then Elijah said, okay, it's my turn. Pour water on the sacrifice. Fill the trenches with water. Very extravagant because there had not been any rain for 3.5 years because of Ahab's sins as a king. Elijah raises his hands, calls upon Yahweh, the God of heaven, the God of Israel, and the fire came down and it consumed not only the bull, but it even burned all the stones and it licked up the water in the ditch around, and all the people fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is our God, the Lord, he is our God. But then Ahab, you'd think that he would repent and come back to God, but he didn't. He was angry, and Jezebel, she was so angry, she said, I will kill that prophet. And that was their whole thing. And in the movie, I have this funny scene where I have a really ugly picture of Jezebel, and I said, it's probably not a good idea to name one of your daughters Jezebel.
Hmm. You know, there's so much that we just take for granted when we do a reading, isn't it, in Scripture?
Yep, you have to. One of the things I love to do, Teresa, is go to the places and
right.
imagine being there, what it would take for King Ahab and Queen Jezebel to get up that mountain. There were no roads and there were no jeeps or anything to drive up there. They had to go up there and maybe be carried with their slaves carrying them in little baskets or walking, and all the people up there. And you have to put yourself in the situation. You have to contextualize it, so to speak, and it's being up there. And another thing, it's interesting because you can look out from there. You can see Mount Tabor. You can see mm-hmm. the Mediterranean Sea. It's like you could see all of northern Israel from up there. That's why it's up there. God is going to declare himself as the God of Israel and to show that he is the true God right up there in the sight of all of Israel.
Yeah, and I've learned so much from you every time, even though I've been to Israel so many times. I think 13 now was my last trip, or 14 when we went back in February and went on to Jordan, which was my first time in Jordan. But I'll never forget when you said that we look at Scripture and we see these words, and as Americans, we think no big deal. We read and where it says, you know, Jesus took the apostles up to Caesarea Philippi. Well, they had a nice little walk. We don't understand, but when you get there, you see the perspective of walking to Caesarea Philippi from Nazareth or actually Galilee, how long that would have taken, and so there must have been a reason for it. What was up there that Jesus wanted to use as a backdrop, and why? So it's so important to pull ourselves out and to look at the perspective, and that's why if you can't get to the Holy Land anytime soon or any part of the Mideast, where most of the Bible took our history was given to us, right? Really, these films are so helpful because they really they take us there. And it's so important because it helps us put it into perspective. This is why I do these shows with you, because it really gives us perspective. So the next time somebody does the readings in the morning and the first reading is from the Old Testament and they hear something about Elijah, it will click.
Exactly. And you know, the movies, too, Teresa, are good for families. I make them very fun for kids, and kids enjoy them. And the study guide, you can do it as a family. And I want kids, if nothing else, I want people that cannot go over and see that these places are real and it makes the Bible come burst into widescreen technicolor, that I want kids to be excited about the faith. I want them to know these places existed. These people were real heroes. They really lived, and they're a whole lot more fun than their iPads if they get to really understand who they are and what the whole story is.
So Eric, who's filling in for Andrew today, we're comparing notes on what our favorite scenes are in your DVDs and films. You were talking about eating the grasshoppers, and Eric and I love the fact when you fell into the mud face first in the Mary movie. And then what was the other one that we were talking about? I'm trying to remember.
Coming down in a basket.
Yeah, that one too, the basket. I love it. We call that, reporter involvement. That's what they used to tell us to do. Although I had never eaten crickets or grasshoppers in my years as a reporter. Steve, always great to have you on the show. CatholicConvert.com. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
That was great.